Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, program 323 in the series, September 30th, and to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
Hey, you know what?
What?
We have some classic radio shows for our listeners tonight.
And we have a lot more than that
I
in
know
store
we do.
For we've
I know.
Got, we've got a special Cat's
very
Pride
special,
night
very special guest. We are going to listen to Have Gun, Will Travel, one of the best westerns on both radio and television. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. Then it's Our Miss Brooks. Everybody loves Eve Arden as Our Miss Brooks, and that's coming up a little later in the show. But right now we're going to talk to Dave Weiske. He is the Vice President of Customer Success at Cat's Pride, and he is here again to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Right, Dave?
A year's supply.
Year's supply.
What? That's a full year.
I was going to say, what a gift that is to anybody who has a cat. That is just invaluable, especially because it's Cat's Pride.
And you Absolutely. Know who's sitting right next to Dave? Mike Estella, our executive producer, is here as well.
What's hey, guys. Up, Mike?
So, Dave is... Dave, your company has been our sponsor from day one. So, first of all, I want to thank you, Cat's Pride, and Dan Jaffe and the
You're
whole
welcome.
Company. And hopefully Dan's listening. I know he's flying out tomorrow somewhere,
yep.
so he couldn't make it. But hi, Dan, if you're out there. But you guys do something that is just extraordinary with this Litter for Good program. And I was hoping you could tell our listeners a little bit more about it so they can get familiar with the green jug and how much good it does for the cats all over the world.
Well, again, you know, Litter for Good is all about really a donation to a shelter. I mean, Cat's Pride has always been committed to improving our products and the lives of cats and their people. As part of our Litter Good for program, it is really about every time you buy one jug, 1 pound of litter is donated to the animal welfare organizations across America. It's not about a promotion. I want to make that first and foremost clear because Dan has reiterated that. It's an expression of our longstanding commitment to helping animals in need. So when we talk about the purchase of one jug, it's not like we wrap up 1 pound and donate it to a particular shelter. It's about your shelter that you're involved with. We basically accumulate pounds over the course of time. And today, I just looked at the numbers tonight. We're at 2.6 million pounds that have been donated across the nation to these particular shelters, which is an awesome
oh my gosh.
Effort. Absolutely.
Huge. Now the significance of that is when you are donating these pounds and pounds of litter to these shelters, they don't have to spend money on kitty litter.
That's right.
They could use this money to find homes for these kitties and do other things. And, you know, if they're sick, they can get them better and things like that. So you're talking about 2.7 million pounds, which is I'm sure hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even more than that, to these shelters, and it's saving cats' lives all over the country.
Absolutely. And when you think about it, and sadly across all these shelters, cats are found and they're picked up and they're brought to a shelter. And, you know, when we talk about a number, and this is sad, I'm going to share a number, and it's like 2.5 million cats are euthanized annually. And this is all about, you know, the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation with Katherine Heigl, how we all got into this. And I can tell you, I mean, her desire to end animal cruelty and abuse inspired to create an organization of what they've done with what they have built this has really been our heart and Dan's effort. So go out and check at www.catspride.com the beautiful video of both Catherine Heigl and Dan across the country giving litter away to all these shelters.
Now, is that where, I'm sorry, Lisa, I was just going to say, is that where you can also sign up your shelter
yes.
at that same website? Okay.
Yes.
Dave, I wanted you to know that we have so many listeners that either use Cat's Pride all the time or have switched based on you being here, and they're texting in now, and so many people are behind you and appreciate not just what you do, but the quality of your litter. So we do have so many listeners that hear you out there and do support Cat's Pride as we do. And we want to support you and Cat's Pride as well.
Thanks, Lisa, because, again, this is what this is about. I mean, our foundation, we've been in business for over 76 years now. And literally, I mean, when you talk about quality of being a vertical integrated company like Oil Dry is, we are all about the clumpability, the dust-free, the odor control, I mean, in these scoopable litters. Everyone's shifting from a traditional, what we call the coarse conventional litter, to a scoopable litter. And I think what you're going to see is a continued growth in this particular path. And the beauty of, you know, go out there and look for the green jug of what we're doing and really donating to the local community with, you know, really the focus of the folks that are buying this particular litter.
Yeah.
And then more importantly, I want to make just a little bit of a teaser for October. Look out in October. We have a huge, 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 I'm going to do a little Trump there. It's going to be a big deal in media.
Well, we will be watching, and we will have you back in October, and we can talk more about it at that time.
Dan will be here.
That's going to be great. Now, it's win-win-win, folks. So, look, if you have a kitty cat, do us a huge favor, because, one, they're the sponsor of our show, the main sponsor of this program, Cat's Pride. So please switch for that reason.
But they're not doing us a favor.
I know, but I'm just saying.
They're doing themselves a favor. I just want to clarify. Yeah, they're not doing
absolutely.
It for us. They're doing
don't
it
forget.
Not only to support wonderful generous company, but because we know that this is the best kitty litter on the market.
Absolutely.
And it's also lightweight. And don't forget about the carbon footprint. We are eliminating trucks off the road every single day. And that is a big deal. That's part of our pitch.
It's a whole green thing that you guys are
absolutely.
All about.
Absolutely.
That's why it's in the green jug. Litter for good. Okay, what's the website again?
www.catspride.com.
All right, catspride.com. Very good. Now, here's another thing that Dave and Dan do every month. They give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one of our listeners because they're our sponsors. It's just something they want to do for our audience. So well, let's do a drum roll here. We're gonna pick another winner. Drum roll, please. All right, Dave.
We have a winner, and it is Chris and Judy Croson. Their cat is Midnight Max, and they're from Port Angeles, Washington.
Wow.
How about that reach?
Yeah, you know, this signal here, WGN, reaches basically coast to coast, and it's fantastic. You know, people, if you have not sent in your picture of your kitty cat, just send a picture to us here, Cat's Pride Photo, @gmail.com. Send a picture of your kitty cat, the cat's name, your name, city and state, and you'll be entered in to win because Dave and Dan will be here next month and give another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter away. You want to be part of that. catspridephoto@gmail.com, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And with an additional big announcement. So get fired up for October, Cat's Pride Nation and WGN Nation, and I love the reach.
We're already
to
fired
the West
up.
Coast. It's it's awesome.
It.
I mean, think about Washington. It's 2,300 miles from here.
Yep. Well, that's the beauty of a 50,000-watt blowtorch like this, WGN.
Absolutely.
So, Dave, thank you very much. Dan,
thank you,
and the whole company. Oil Dry is a Chicago-based company, and they're the parent company of Cat's Pride, our main sponsor here. So we'll see you again next month.
And let's not forget where you can get it. So I'm going to give you a couple of quick, and I know I'm probably running over time.
No, it's okay.
Amazon.com, Don't forget about Chewy.com, Walmart.com. That's for the easy access to getting out of brick and mortar. And then you have locally Jewel. You have Walmart. And you have a lot of other options. So, I mean, we're in a lot of places. Look for the green jug
and
please purchase.
You got it, my friend. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, it is Have Gun, Will Travel. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. We appreciate Dave Wieske for coming in here. And Cat's Pride as our sponsor from day one here on the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday. We begin at 11 p.m. Sundays, we're here till 1 o'clock in the morning. On Saturdays, we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we play all your favorite classic radio shows. We have a website. It's WGNRadioTheater.com. We have a text in line. It's 312-981-7200. And Lisa, did you have a nap earlier today?
I didn't.
Okay, so I absolutely need you to text in then, folks, because she'll be falling asleep if you don't give her something to do.
I won't be sleeping, but thank you to all of the people who are texting in about their use of Cat's Pride and how much they appreciate it. I appreciate that, and Dave and Dan appreciate that as well.
Yeah, text us in if you have any questions about the show, 312-981-7200. Any comments? We love your comments as well.
I do.
All right, it's time for Have Gun, Will Travel. Of course, this started, Lisa, on television, then
it's
migrated to radio. Really strange. Yeah, on TV, we had Richard Boone playing Paladin. Everybody's seen this show on MeTV and, of course, all the different antenna TV and all the classic cable channels. But then it was so popular on TV, they said, let's do a radio version. But Richard Boone wasn't available because he was filming the television show. So they got John Daner to star as Paladin. So a great series. This is a broadcast from January 11th, 1959, called The Englishman. Here's part one now. John Daner starring in Have Gun, Will Travel.
Your guide would cut your throat for $10. And even if he didn't, you'd be shot by bandits or scalped by Indians. My gun is your safe passage. You're going to need it.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
You know, Mayboy, I'm bored this afternoon. Too much of the same thing.
Oh, you saw me, Sir Paladin.
If only something different would happen.
I say, Porter.
Oh, something different, Mr. Paladin.
Which is the way to Fleetown, Montana?
Fleetown?
Yes.
Perhaps I might help. My name is Paladin.
Why, thank you, sir. I'm James Brunswick.
Hey, boy, bring Mr. Brunswick some brandy.
No, you're very kind, but I can't tarry. You see, my father, the 8th Earl of Aylesbury, invested money in this ranch in Montana, and now that my brother's dead, his share was left to me.
And you're going there to take possession?
Precisely, yes. My interest is high. The rest is owned by a fifth cousin, a Miss Felicia Carson. Well, I must make arrangements to get there quickly. A lone woman attempting to run a large ranch. Well, you understand.
Yes, of course. I imagine she'll be pleased to have a man's help.
Oh, quite. Yes. Well, I'll hop a train and I'll just pop in on her in a day or two.
3 weeks will be closer to the truth. Oh? The train will drop you about 200 miles from Fleetown. From there on, it's horseback over the mountains.
Oh. Well, then in that case, I might do a bit of hunting. I shall hire a guide.
And he'll cut your throat for your money.
Good gracious.
No, you couldn't do it alone. You'd get lost, shot by bandits, or scalped.
Well, that's rather awkward. What's the solution?
This.
Have Gun, Will Travel.
Oh, I say. The gun, is it necessary?
Not always. Sometimes it's mighty useful.
If dandruff dulls your hair, leaves your scalp itchy, please listen. You can get rid of annoying dandruff so fast today, no one should suffer any longer.
With Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. Besides that, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And while removing dandruff, Fitch can also brighten hair up to 35%. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
James Brunswick, 9th Earl of Aylesbury, endured the 3 week ride over the mountains with the help of an English saddle, a sun helmet, and 2 pack horses carrying his trunks and carpet bags. He marveled at the size, the coldness, the expanse, and the beauty of the land. There were some Indians lounging around the general's store when we rode into Fleetown. They stared at him, fascinated. He stared back, fascinated. We dismounted and walked up the steps.
This is Fleetown, mister. You looking for someone special?
Yes. Miss Felicia Carson. Perhaps you can direct us to the King's Arms Ranch, sir?
I'll be danged. Miss Carson?
What is it, Wardy?
Ma'am, I think your cousin from England just got here.
What? You James Brunswick?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, well, I reckon you are my kinfolk.
Oh, my goodness, Cousin Felicia. Why, this is delightful.
Well, I reckon. I'm pleased to meet you.
I'm delighted. This is my friend, Mr. Paladin.
A pleasure, Miss Carson.
The same. This here's Waddy, my foreman.
Howdy.
You go see if them horses is shod yet, Waddy.
Yes, ma'am. Who is Crazy Clothes?
I beg your pardon.
Crazy Clothes.
Harry, you go on about your business. Quit standing around staring. And take your braves with you. Go on now, go on.
Crazy Clothes.
I say, Cousin Felicia, those are savages.
No, them's Harry Blackfoot, Little Horse, and a few of the boys from across the road is all.
James was disappointed that we didn't see any Indians on the trail.
Good thing, too. The only braves you'd run into up there'd be a war party taking scalps. Oh, Harry and them, a lot more peaceable. They ain't smeared war paint in years.
War paint? Taking scalps? By Jove, it's all true, then, just as I've read.
Makes good reading, but it's nothing you'd care to see.
No, I expect not.
Well, well. This is your cousin all the way from England, huh?
Now, look, N.G., let's not have
now,
any...
Now, wait a minute! You the one who shot that poor little bear cub on that pack horse?
I shot him, sir, but he's scarcely a cub.
Listen to him, boy. Why, mister, you just ain't acquainted with the Montana breed of bear. Full grown, they're as big as this house.
Really? Well, I never heard of any animal that large.
I've only been in on the kill of one full-size Montana bear myself. I was with the Army. Took a 10-pound shot to bring him down.
How extraordinary.
And you know what we found when we peeled the hide off him?
No, what?
Why, bear skin, you blame fool.
I must say the joke is on me, what?
Yeah, it sure is. What a dude. Mm-hmm. Come on, let's get up.
You tripped me.
How's the water in the horse trough?
I guess it's a horse on you, Andy.
You think that's funny, do you?
You must admit a man swimming in a horse trough looks pretty foolish.
Not as foolish as you will with your jaw busted.
Seems like N.G. finally bit on one himself and he don't like the sour taste.
You're kind of handy with your practical jokes, mister.
Next time, it might be better to let a man become acquainted with the local customs before you try to make a fool of him.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's the first portion. That's a dramatic music there, Lisa. Very dramatic.
Well, you're very dramatic,
yeah,
Carl,
you are.
So you would note it.
Have Gun, Will Travel, the first portion, called The Englishman from January of 1959, John Daner starring. Let's take a break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Lisa, is your garage full? Is your basement stuffed? Is your attic overwhelmed? Is your house bursting at the seams? No, not. It's not.
But if it were,
if it
I know
was,
where I would go.
You'd call Rebound Chicago at 773-255-6795. They are the kings of junk removal and home cleanouts. They take everything and anything.
Oh, that's...
What do you think of that?
That's a lot.
I threw an extra...
That's a lot of things.
I threw an extra anything in there. From one piece to the entire contents of a home, all for a very fair price. Don't call an out-of-town 1-800 franchise to overcharge you for subpar service. Locally owned and operated with years of experience, Rebound Chicago will make the job quick and painless. Call 773-255-6795 for a free quote. Go to their website at Rebound Chicago. I'm sorry, it's Rebound Chi-Town. RebaundChiTown.com. Mention this radio ad for a discount. Senior citizen and veteran discounts are also available. Now, my sister, my brother, both used Rebound Chicago, and they say it's amazing. So there
then
you go.
They must be.
They must be, so check them out. All right, it is time now for the conclusion to Have Gun, Will Travel.
James Brunswick, 9th Earl of Aylesbury, changed to knickers once we got to the ranch. After tea and a pipe, he picked up his riding crop and announced it was time to look things over. Felicia Carson reckoned it was time. I tagged along. We made a circuit of the main ranch buildings and ended up sometime around dusk back at the corrals.
Well, that's the works, Jamie. These buildings, 6,000 head of cattle and 12,000 acres of land.
It's immense, absolutely immense. And you've been looking after all this alone. You know, you're an amazing woman, Felicia.
Had to be done.
Well, now that I'm here, I intend to take this burden off your shoulders. You just sit back and be the lady of the manor, huh?
Well, thanks, Jamie, but for a while, you just sort of take it easy and don't strain yourself none. I'm going up to the house. Supper's in a half an hour.
What? Well, I'm afraid that she doesn't take me very seriously, Paladin.
That'll change. Right now, you're sort of unusual to her.
To everyone. You know, I've been thinking about NG and his little joke this morning. I was being tested, wasn't I?
Yeah. And they think that a man who can be tricked is a fool. See, around here they figure there are two kinds of no good people, cowards and fools. In a rough situation, the coward will run out on you, and the fool might make a fatal mistake.
And I showed myself up to be a fool.
No. But you showed you've got a lot to learn. Let's say you've lost face. You don't quite fit in yet.
How does one go about fitting in, Paladin?
Well, here. This is your saddle. Huh? English. Made for riding. Nothing else, right?
Well, what else is there?
Oh? Look at the saddle of mine. A Western saddle.
But yeah, it's a cumbersome, heavy sort of thing.
Maybe, but there's a reason for everything. See the horn here? Uh-huh. Tie post when roping cattle and elbow rest for a man in the saddle all day.
I see.
And the height and the slope of the cattle here. See that? Huh? I figure to give a man the most comfort and the best brace through a day's work. Well, the rigging, the cinch, the stirrup leathers are all designed to contribute something useful. There isn't a piece of leather on this saddle that isn't needed.
Uh-huh. Well, I must confess, I thought it was an unwieldy piece of business.
No, nothing on the frontier is without a definite purpose. No individual is without a definite purpose either. Survival's too difficult. Everything and everyone must contribute something, and you'll just have to find the thing that you have to contribute.
I say, Paladin, look. Yeah, but they're attacking us.
They shouldn't be hostile here. They're showing themselves too openly. Oh, no.
See, they're firing in the air. Hey, you put down that rifle.
Why did you knock the rifle?
Shut up, you hit him. Come on.
Huh? Well, it looks like... Well, that's the one, Harry Blackfoot.
All right, now, hold still, Harry. Let me see.
Why, crazy.
Now, you just take it easy now.
Of all the fool tricks, screaming like a bunch of medicine show squaws. It serves you right, Harry.
Hey, can I help?
NG say it was a joke. Everybody have fun, NG say.
High in the chest. It's a bad one.
You do this, Englishman.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was a joke. I take him to the house.
No. No, we take care of our chief.
I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Then why couldn't you wait and find out what it was about before you... Oh, never mind. We'll go into town in the morning. Maybe they'll listen to reason. We ain't had no Indian trouble here in years until you come along, you dang fool.
She put that kind of strong.
What was that you said about a fool? A fool that makes fatal mistakes?
Toward greater victories, the March of Dimes is again asking your help to wipe out the deadly cripplers of thousands of children and adults. Not only polio, but arthritis and birth defects. Did you know that one out of every seven persons in the United States will suffer from arthritis, an exceedingly painful disease for which no cure has yet been found, and that it menaces our youngsters as well as older people? And did you know that one out of every 16 babies born this year will have a birth defect? You have helped the March of Dimes fight polio and emerge the winner in the battle. And now your 1959 contribution to the March of Dimes can help win the battle with these other awful cripplers. We did it before, and with your help, we can do it again. Send your gift of money to your local March of Dimes headquarters. Send it tonight.
There was tension in Fleet Town after Harry Blackfoot was shot. No one knew what the Indians might do about him. They had him holed up in an old barn, feeding him whiskey and working on his wounds. At least that was the news we got.
When are you figuring to leave, Paladin?
Tomorrow.
Look, take him back with you for his own good. How long do you think he'd last out here before somebody blows his head off?
You could learn if you'd help him.
I'm running a ranch, not a school. Oh, it isn't as if I don't like Jamie.
Well, then, don't send him away. This ranch would give him a purpose in life. You need him.
To shoot Indians?
Would it be better if he'd run away and hid?
Well, he should have used his head before he used that rifle.
He reacted the way any man would. He was attacked, picked up the rifle, and defended himself.
Good morning. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Morning.
Now, when we get to town, Jamie, you let me do the talking. The Indians are probably cooled down by now.
If Harry Blackfoot is all right.
NG started this, and it's up to him to stop it. Now, James, I just want you to show up and stand there like you got nothing to be ashamed of.
Yes, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Paladin, I'd appreciate it if you would stay here until we clear up this matter, and then I'd like to return to San Francisco with you.
If that's what you want.
Well, I believe it would be best for everyone. Oh, there he is, propped up against the log under the tree.
Harry Blackfoot seems to be recovering very well.
He's drunk. They're all drunk. Look at that barrel of whiskey. Bet they got it from NG.
You better get NG before we try talking to Harry. Now, you can't stay out here alone, James. Come with us.
Well, I'd like to apologize to that fellow.
Oh, not right now.
Well, there you
are, you blasted troublemaker? You got the engines all stewed up, the blame fool.
Don't you try to squirm out of this, putting all the blame on Jamie.
Well, I didn't have anything...
NG, you're going out with us now and tell Harry Blackfoot exactly why all this is your fault.
My fault?
I don't have to explain that to you, NG.
Them engines is in no mood to listen to reason. Now they'd kill me.
If you don't go out there, I'll kill you.
Send out Crazy Coat!
Where's my rifle?
You kill any one of them and word will spread to every Indian in the section. And every one of them will be wearing paint in 24 hours.
You get out there and tell them to stop it.
I can't stop them. They want the Englishman.
He's right.
Where do you think you're going?
Out there. There's little choice, is there?
You can't go out there, Jamie.
Well, I can't endanger your life or be the cause of an uprising.
Stop him!
If he can get across the street, maybe he can get to Harry.
Paladin, why didn't you stop him?
Sometimes a man has things to prove to himself.
It's a rundown. They're going to swipe him down and trample him.
Oh, no. He's getting up. Here comes another one.
No man can take that kind of punishment.
Oh, no. He's getting up again.
He's trying to get to Harry Blackfoot. I'm going out there. Wait here.
They'll kill you too, Paladin, if you interfere.
Harry. Call him off, Harry.
No. Braves teach lessons.
We could have shot your braves by now, but that would have made a war. He's had his lesson. He's been hurt enough.
Crazy clothes on his feet.
Listen to me, Harry. Only a few may wear clothes like that. It is a proud uniform from a far-off land. Only brave and honorable men wear that uniform. The clothes are the sign of a great and wise leader, a man of strength, a man like yourself. You see how he behaves?
Enough!
I feel I owe you an apology, old man. I'm really dreadfully sorry, you know. Inexcusable.
You're right. He brave man.
Feeling better, Jamie?
Oh, much, thank you, yes. Fortunate the store carried my size in stock. How do you like me? Do I look like a rancher? Paladin?
I guess you do at that. Well, come on in, Harry.
Where'd he get your clothes?
He requested them.
Only brave and honorable men wear this uniform. Great and wise leaders?
That's right, Harry.
Me and that one, Englishman. No one else?
No one else.
Good.
Well, he seems quite happy. Well, now, Paladin, shall we return to the ranch and pack?
Oh, you're not going to run out and leave me now, Jamie. You can't do that to me. I'm just a mere little old woman. That ranch needs a man.
Oh, thank you for the offer, Felicia, but really, I'm afraid there's so little that I have to contribute out here.
Except courage.
Oh, come now, Paladin. I mean, one doesn't talk about that sort of thing.
Mr. Paladin, you're traveling back to San Francisco alone.
Well, if you insist, I stay.
One favor before I leave, James.
Oh, yes, of course.
I'd like the address of your tailor in London. If I send him my measurements, perhaps he could make me a brave and honorable chief.
Oh, you buck me so, Paladin. But where is man from the bowler hat?
He's ranching in Montana.
Oh, him? Montana?
Oh, he changed clothes.
Excuse me, please. Can either of you tell me the way to Henrysville, Oregon?
Oh, sure. Best is to go to a street at the end of town there.
Oregon and Henrysville are a long ways off. And difficult to get to.
Oh, but you see, I really must get to Henrysville. A cousin of mine, a rancher, died. And it's my duty to take over the management of the ranch.
Oh, boy.
And you've just arrived from England, and you're in a hurry.
Well, yes, that's quite correct, as a matter of fact.
My name is Paladin. May I offer you my service?
Would you... Have Gordon, will travel. What kind of service?
Sit down, please. Hey, boy. A glass of sherry for Miss...
Worthshire. Lady Angela Worthshire.
For Lady Angela. And hurry.
Oh, Esau, get sherry right away. Ooh, Lady Angela. Oh, boy. Tally-ho, Mr. Paladin.
Now, Lady Angela, I think I should tell you...
Must you hold my hand?
It's an American custom. You must accustom yourself to American customs.
Oh. Well, now the service you spoke of.
It begins tonight at 8 o'clock. A dinner at Fabre's, then a glass of sparkling wine at the Porter, and then a tour of San Francisco. You must see the points of interest before you leave.
I feel I'm already indulging myself in something interesting.
Lady Angela, I know I can assist you.
Do you know something, Mr. Paladin? I'm quite certain you can.
Gun will travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, he is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, Ralph Moody, Gene Bates, Barney Phillips, James Nusser, and Harry Bartell. Hugh Douglas speaking. Have Gun, Will Travel salutes station KRMG, Tulsa, Oklahoma, which became CBS Radio's newest affiliate on Monday, January 5th. KRMG covers 93 counties and reaches about 1 million families in the Southwest and operates on 50,000 watts daytime and 25,000 nighttime. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
That is a terrific episode of Have Gun, Will Travel. You know, Gunsmoke and Have Gun, Will Travel, probably the two best adult westerns of the golden age of radio. And both of them were on the air a long time, and they would sort of use the same script oftentimes. They'd take the radio script and adapt it for TV, or take the television script and adapt it for radio. And this particular episode that aired on radio January 11, 1959, it was used on television 2 years prior, December 7, 1957. This is called The Englishman. Of course, Richard Boone played Paladin on the television show, John Daner in that particular radio show. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, you know what?
What?
In our next hour, Eve Arden stars as Connie Brooks, a good episode, comedy episode from 1949. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll also play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote, and we'll give away some prizes.
And it's going to be our final Cat's Pride Crack the Quote because we are on to a new game starting next weekend.
Really?
Called Musical Memory. So this is our final
Cat's
the Quote.
It's Cat's Pride's Musical Memories,
it
right?
It is.
Wow.
I know. Very exciting.
Well, that's
cool,
too.
So you should definitely stay tuned with us. Call in for the final.
You could be the last person on Cat's Pride.
And I can safely say this is probably the easiest.
What?
And I mean the easiest Crack the Quote we have ever done since we started it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You can do it with your eyes closed. Even Carl and Roger
can
get this one.
Even I might get this and Roger
might
get this.
Amazing.
Yep. I'm pretty positive on this one.
Man. Okay. Sounds good. Stick around. We have another hour of the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish. This is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be here till 1 a.m. And we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote, in this hour. We're also going to listen to our Miss Brooks, Eve Arden, as 10th grade English teacher Connie Brooks. You're going to hear Jeff Chandler as bashful biology teacher Philip Boynton, Gail Gordon on there as well. Great cast. That is coming your way in just a few minutes, but let's play our game. What do they win?
They're going to win two tickets to see the premiere of Edge of Life, which is playing at the Athenaeum Theater.
Ah, and what is the movie?
The movie.
What is the movie?
The original Beauty and the Beast, 1991, Walt
Beauty
Disney.
Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
So
the animated
this,
film
oh, it's an animated
with Angela
film.
Lansbury.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I never saw it.
You didn't see Beauty and the Beast?
No.
Do you have children?
I have three children.
That's what
They're
I'm
not
saying.
Children anymore, but I do
yeah,
have...
Yeah, well, in 1991,
yeah.
did you have any children?
Yeah, 1991.
No, Amanda wasn't born yet.
No, she wasn't born yet. No.
But even after that, you didn't see Beauty and the
Maybe.
Beast?
Maybe.
That's one of the classics. It's a good one.
Yeah, is
okay,
it?
Okay, it's All one right. of my favorites.
So if I would be the Beast and you would be the Beauty, obviously... Of the two of us, right?
There's other characters. I'm going to go more for like the candlestick or
something. We should be Beauty and the Beast this Halloween. I'll
be
the Beast and you be the Beauty. Yeah.
I don't want to be a Beauty.
No?
It's now fun to be a
Beauty.
All
right. Well, what caller do you want?
We're going to take caller three and the number 312-981-7200.
Call now. Play the game. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote. Brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Hey, Roger.
Yes?
We're going to have to put that opening to bed.
That's all right.
I'm so sorry, but
no,
you can keep
it. No, don't
worry about it. Maybe you can
John
use
Hansen
it again.
Stole it last night.
Okay.
He did. We're putting it to good use whenever okay. he's on the air.
Sounds good. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Oh, wait a second.
You got him?
Here we go. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Glad you're with us this morning. We're going to do a little Crack the Quote, and Beauty and the Beast is the movie, and we've got three easy quotes. Let's see what we can do here. Number one, you will join me for dinner? That's not a request. Number two, this is the circle of life. Number three, whistle while you work. Carl, wait,
were right. It was so
you know what?
Easy.
Before anybody answers, I'm going to let Carl go first.
Okay.
I have no idea.
See, he obviously...
I'm going to say...
Beauty and the Beast.
I would say probably number one.
You'll join me for dinner?
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, what do you think?
I'll go with number two.
This is the circle of life. Roger, what do you think?
Hey, Kevin, would you like to make it a unanimous decision?
Sure.
Okay, you win either way. But I think Carl might be right on this, surprisingly.
Well, just a little note, the circle of... All right, well let's play it.
You will join me for dinner. That's not a request.
Nothing to it. Easy peasy. It is the circle of life. No, it's that's Beauty and the Beast. And Kevin, you're a winner. You have won two tickets to the premiere of Edge of Life. It's at the Athenaeum Theater, which is on the north side on Southport Avenue. And it's running October 11th through November 3rd. You can get tickets and information at athenaeumtheater.org. And thank you for calling in our final Crack the Quote segment.
Way to go, Kevin.
Well, thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you, Kevin. All right. It is time for our Miss Brooks. Eve Arden starred as English teacher Connie Brooks. She worked at Madison High School. The principal of the school was Osgood Conklin. He was kind of crabby like my brother Vince. You know,
like your brother?
Yeah, my brother Vince is crabby.
Mm.
Although, you know what? Lately, he hasn't been as crabby.
I think the crabby gene is traveling a little bit through the family.
Could be. Gail Gordon played Principal Osgood Conklin, and Walter Denton was played by Richard Crenna. Yeah, Richard Crenna did a lot of radio and TV. Jeff Chandler was Philip Boynton. Of course, Eve Arden's character, Connie Brooks, was in love, madly in love, with the bashful biology teacher, Philip Boynton. And he was just too invested in his frogs and things to even notice that she was after him. Very funny series. And we have an episode for you now called Student Convict Days. Here's a January 16th, 1949 broadcast of our Miss Brooks.
Palm Olive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous dream girl hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Last Friday was Student Government Day, a day upon which the entire administration of the city is handed over to high school pupils who have been elected by their classmates. Well, ordinarily, our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, would have very little to do with this event.
But unfortunately, Miss Johnson, the civics teacher, took ill on Thursday, and our principal, Mr. Conklin, suggested that I take over her class. Of course, I didn't have to accept the assignment. I just figured that teaching is better than being totally unemployed. In some states, it's better. At any rate, I conducted Miss Johnson's civics class on Thursday, and on the subject, "What would I do if I held public office?" the class and I had quite a spirited discussion. And in view of later developments, I'm sorry I didn't listen. But Friday morning finally rolled around, and the entire student body and faculty gathered in the assembly hall to hear Mr. Conklin officially proclaim it Student Government Day. Mr. Boynton, my bashful biologist, was sitting in the front row, and accidentally, with the aid of two bloodhounds, I found myself sitting right next to him.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks.
Why, Mr. Boynton, this is a surprise. To you, anyway.
I didn't see you sit down. I believe I left my notebook on that seat. It's just some lecture notes on the North American porcupine.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Boynton. I didn't even notice it. He must have pulled in his quills. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. I'll just hold it in my lap.
Why don't we let the notebook have the seat and you could hold... No, not in school, I guess.
You know, Miss Brooks, something just occurred to me. We're always sitting next to each other in assembly. Fate seems to be throwing us together.
Compared to my throwing, fate is a sandlot pitcher. But perhaps you're right, Mr. Boynton. Maybe we should give fate a helping hand. I'm free for lunch today. How about you? Or would you rather ask me? Or am I being too subtle? Oh, darn that bell. I'll have to get him in the next round.
Students, faculty members, and honored guests. First of all, as your principal, I would like to announce that because this is Student Government Day, school will be suspended. Please. I sympathize with your disappointment. But as you know, Student Government Day has been tried successfully in many other communities, and I have always been ready to experiment in any progressive plan to foster good citizenship. That is why you see before you on this platform our honored guest, Mayor Remsen. Now, Mayor Remsen, would you care to say a few words?
Of course not. He only brought those 9 pages along to put his gum in.
Thank you, Mr. Conklin, for your generous introduction. As I look out upon this ocean of young, eager, intelligent faces, a tide of emotion swells up in me.
I'm getting a little seasick myself.
And as I think of the glorious future which this community can look forward to at the hands of these youths, I am deeply touched. I have always been well informed on the affairs of young people.
He ought to be. He's kissed so many babies you can't see his tie for the pablum.
And so it is with considerable pride that I now inaugurate for the first time in this community Student Government Day. Therefore, without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce to you your duly elected mayor, Miss Harriet Conklin.
You may applaud now.
Thank you. My constituents, friends, and Mayor Remsen, I intend to show this community something new and different by making my term of office a clean and honest administration.
Well, now...
We will not tolerate graft and corruption.
We don't.
Thank you, Harriet Conklin.
As Miss Brooks said in our civics class yesterday, the racketeers must go, no matter what politician is protecting them.
Oh, that Miss Brooks certainly is a card.
That will be all, Harriet. You really say that in civics class?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Mayor Remsen, allow me to apologize for my daughter's enthusiasm. She was obviously referring to the aims of city governments in general without realizing that those aims have already been attained in our community.
Of course. And now, it is my extreme pleasure to introduce the student who has been elected your chief of police, Walter Denton.
Thank you, friends. As your incumbent police chief, I cannot reemphasize too forcefully the remarks Miss Brooks made in civics class yesterday. To wit, every crook and grafter who has been malting the city treasury of funds has got to...
Thank you, Chief of Police Walter Denton.
I haven't finished my speech.
Oh, yes, you have, Denton.
But, Mr. Conklin, as Miss Brooks said just yesterday...
This is not a symposium on the memoirs of Miss Brooks. Or maybe it is. Miss Brooks, you here?
No, I couldn't make it today.
What's that? Oh, there you are. Before we go any further, isn't there something you'd like to say?
Yes, sir. Is there a doctor in the house? You sent for me, Mr. Conklin?
Yes, Miss Brooks, I did. In spite of my abject apologies, Mayor Remsen left here in a very ugly mood. And Miss Brooks, just what happened in civics class yesterday?
Well, we had an open discussion, and somebody opened it wider than I realized. But we only discussed corrupt city administrations in general, Mr. Conklin. We made no specific mention of Mayor Remsen's corrupt administration.
Never mind what you mean. Thanks to you, we've got a band of young malcontents on our hands. Why, not 5 minutes ago, a student delegation was in here demanding a 3-day school week. And that's not all. They also informed me that they would like a 4-hour day, starting from the moment they leave home till the moment they arrive back there. That's portal to portal.
Well, next thing you know, they'll be wanting time and a half for leaving the room.
There's no telling how far this thing can go. They've got the whip hand. They're in public office today. Student government day indeed. Whoever thought up that crack-brained idea ought to have his head examined.
Bend over, Mr. Conklin.
What?
It was your idea.
Oh, well, don't change the subject. There's no telling what... As I was saying, there's no telling what that student reform party is capable of doing. Miss Brooks, it's up to you to see that they stay out of mischief.
But, Mr. Conklin, you said this was a holiday, and I've got a very important lunch date to make.
Well, I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. You've got to chaperone those students.
But, Mr. Conklin...
Dismiss, but Miss Brooks. I said fall out. On the double.
Aye, aye, sir. Fine way to spend a holiday, chaperoning a bunch of... What am I running about? I'm halfway down the hall. Oh, that's funny. I stopped right outside Mr. Boynton's biology lab. Well, I might as well go in now that I'm here.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. Say, I hope Mr. Conklin wasn't too severe with you.
Not at all, Mr. Boynton. How are you at setting bones? And speaking of lunch, which you weren't, the date we almost had, but didn't quite because you didn't get around to asking me, and which I was going to talk you into, but which I would have had to cancel because Mr. Conklin wants me to chaperone the students who are acting as government officials today.
Well, just a minute, Miss Brooks. I can't quite follow you.
Me either, Mr. Boynton. I suppose I'm trying to apologize for standing you up.
When?
Today.
You were supposed to have lunch with me today?
How nice of you to ask me. Shall we say the front steps in 15 minutes?
Oh, but...
I just want to powder my nose and fix up a bit.
But you said something about chaperoning the students.
Oh, that can wait till after lunch. See you in a little while, Mr. Boynton. I wonder if I'm playing too hard to get. Now, if I can just avoid Her Honor the Mayor and Walter Denton.
Well, Walter, there's Miss Brooks.
Uh-oh. Hiya, Miss Brooks. We've been looking for you.
I've been lurking from you, too.
Miss Brooks, as mayor of this community, I feel that I have you to thank for many of my high ideals.
Me too, Miss Brooks. When you stood up in civics class yesterday with a kind of glowing, luminous light emanating from your skull and your chalk poised in front of the blackboard, you know who you reminded me of?
Joan of Arc at the Battle of the Erasers. Look, kids, I promised Mr. Conklin and I'd chaperone you today,
Wonderful,
but I have...
Miss Brooks. We're really going to clean up this town.
You have no idea what's going on in this town, Miss Brooks. If you'll just stick with us, we'll show you graft and corruption, infamy and greed.
I'd rather have Mr. Boynton show me spaghetti and meatballs. Now, if you'll just keep quiet about it, I'll meet Mr. Boynton for lunch.
Lunch? But what about the ideas of decent, honest government that you had yesterday?
Yeah, and don't you want to be in at the kill?
Who are we killing?
I'm afraid we'll have to take an executive action, Walter.
Right. Miss Brooks, I assume you still believe in obedience to duly elected authority?
Of course I do, Walter.
Then, as chief of police, I hereby appoint you deputy sheriff. For the rest of the day, Miss Brooks, you'll take orders from me.
But, Walter...
Silence?
Oui, mon capitaine.
Here, with this badge, I hereby make you a deputy sheriff.
Look, Walter, to you I'm a deputy sheriff, and to Harriet I'm a deputy sheriff. But to a deputy sheriff, am I a deputy sheriff? Hmm?
Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith.
Ladies, regardless of age, skin type, or previous beauty care, doctors prove you too may win a lovelier complexion with Palmolive soap.
But to win this lovelier complexion, the kind men admire and women envy, you must stop improper cleansing. Instead, use Palmolive soap the way doctors advise.
Remember, 36 doctors, leading skin specialists, advised 1,285 women, many with complexion problems, to use Palmolive this way. Some have dry skin, some oily, some coarse-looking. Using Palmolive soap alone, 2 out of 3 won lovelier complexions. Now here's what the doctors advise.
Wash your face with Palmolive soap, massaging for 1 minute with Palmolive's soft lather. This cleansing massage brings your skin Palmolive's full beautifying effect. Rinse. Do this 3 times a day for 14 days.
It's that simple. But doctors have proved this way, using nothing but Palmolive, really works. So forget other beauty care. Use Palmolive soap alone for a lovelier complexion.
For loveliness all over, use big, thrifty bath-size Palmolive in your tub or shower.
Do you use Palmolive soap, Lisa?
I'm soaking in it right now.
Yeah, that was those were very popular commercials.
Oh, I remember
Madge the dishwashing liquid girl, Palmolive. Yeah, that's the first portion of Our Miss Brooks from January 16th, 1949. More in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Is your garage full, basement stuffed, attic overwhelmed, house bursting at the seams? Call Rebound Chicago, 773-255-6795. They're the kings of junk removal and home cleanouts. They take anything and everything from one piece to the entire contents of a home, all for a fair price. Don't call an out-of-town 1-800 franchise to overcharge you for subpar service. Locally owned and operated with years of experience, Rebound Chicago will make the job quick and painless. Call 773-255-6795 for a free quote. See their website at reboundshytown.com. That's reboundshytown.com. Mention this radio ad for a discount. Senior citizen and veteran discounts are also available. Check them out. They come highly recommended. All right, let's get back now to Our Miss Brooks.
You'd better pull over, Walter.
Why, Miss Brooks? Oh, the siren. Now, that's on our car. I put it on this morning.
I don't want to see insubordinate, Chief, but just where are we going?
To the Jackpot Amusement Company's warehouse.
We've been watching the place for weeks, Miss Brooks, in preparation for today. And we've seen truckloads of slot machines delivered there.
Slot machines?
Sure. The kind they put in the back of candy stores where little school kids can spend their lunch money in a futile effort to get rich quick.
You know, where you pull a lever and try to hit as many bumpers as possible.
Oh, the game I play in my car.
Well, those kind aren't so bad. It's the one-armed bandits that keep the kids broke. Oh, they're all fixed.
Fixed?
Sure. If a machine pays back more than 5 cents on a dollar, they break its arm.
Here we are, the Jackpot Amusement Company.
What are we going to do here?
We're
going to
raid the place.
We three?
No, there's another bunch of kids coming any minute. You see, the fire commissioner had to go home and change his pants. He tore them sliding down the pole at the firehouse. Well, are you all ready, men?
Speaking for some of us, men, no.
Now, when I blow my police whistle, we'll charge.
Sorry, I don't have an account here.
Let's go.
I'm with you, Walter.
Oh, now, Walter, Harriet, listen. Let's go to a movie.
Open up in the name of the law. Are you going to open up or do we have to break it in?
Walter, please.
Stand in back of Miss Brooks, Harriet.
Oh, fine. Now they're going to use me for a battering ram.
What's going on out here?
Trick or treat.
What's that?
Are you one of the employees of the Jackpot Amusement Company?
What if I am?
You're under arrest.
What?
Miss Brooks, you're a deputy sheriff. Arrest this man.
Pull over to the curb, bud.
Look, lady, I'm a busy man. Why don't you just take your kids over to the playground and shove them down a sharp slide? Now beat it.
Oh, resisting arrest, eh? This may go hard with you, my good man.
What's going on here? Who blew the police whistle?
I did. Officer, arrest this man.
What did he do? He tried to get fresh with you, lady.
No, and that's the story of my life.
And what do you want him arrested for?
Yours not to reason why. As your chief of police, I gave an order. Your duty is to obey.
How does that go again, Sonny?
You heard him, officer. As mayor, I decree that you arrest this individual.
Well, let me get this straight. You're the mayor, and he's the chief of police. Ah. Who are you, lady?
I'm Joan of Arc, and stop breathing on my armor.
I do not wish to be rude, but I have to go in now. You see, I am Little Miss Muffet, and I have to go sit on my tuffet for a while.
This is your last chance, officer. Arrest that man in there, or tomorrow you'll be pounding a beet in a swamp.
Oh, pounding a beet in a swamp, is it?
Do you realize this is insubordination?
Oh, insubordination, is it?
You've just got to arrest that man.
Oh, arrest that man, is it?
This is getting monotonous, was it?
Look, folks, why don't you all run along and we'll forget about the whole thing?
Oh, that settles it. Miss Brooks, arrest this policeman.
Arrest this policeman, is it?
Now, don't start that again. Will you go quietly, or do I have to use the bracelets?
Take it easy, lady. We'll settle this in a minute.
That doesn't frighten anybody. I got one of those, too.
Good for you, Sonny.
Some people don't seem to be familiar with the Constitution of the United States, which says, we the people of the United States
or
of America,
for that matter, the
in
Declaration
order to form
of Independence,
a more perfect union,
which says,
establish justice.
Little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating his Christmas pie up. He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum, and along came the Black Mariah. Guard! Oh, guard!
That's no use, Miss Brooks. He won't even listen to us.
Let me call him. After all, I'm still mayor.
Fine mayor. She's been in office 6 hours and the whole administration's up the river.
It's as much your fault as mine. You and your police whistle.
Now, don't start bickering, children. Maybe if we behave ourselves, they'll make us trustees. Hello out there. Oh, guard. Jailer. Turnkey.
Shut up.
My, what ill-bred screws.
Yes, yes, Mrs. Denton, I'll call you the minute I hear from Walter. Goodbye. Imagine that, Martha. Mrs. Denton wanted me to call the police department. How would they know where her son Walter is? I can't understand it, Martha.
You can't understand what, Osgood?
That's the fifth parent who's called me up to ask why her child hasn't come home for dinner yet. You'd think they'd keep track of their children and not suddenly discover at 7 o'clock that they haven't come home for dinner yet. By the way, where's Harriet?
She hasn't come home for dinner yet.
What? Well, don't just stand there. Do something. Call Miss Brooks. I put the children in her charge. Call the police. The Bureau of Missing Persons. Get the district attorney. Contact the mayor. Find out if there's somebody. Why don't they... Well, maybe you could get a hold of them. But I don't know what you're just standing there for. I'm here to... I'm concerned. Why are you not concerned? Why don't you do something? Get going.
Osgood. Sometimes you sound like a walrus caught in a Turkish bath. I did call Miss Brooks. Mrs. Davis says she wasn't home yet. Poor woman. She's had dinner on since 6. She's terribly worried about her stewed tomatoes.
Please stop sniveling about Mrs. Davis's tomatoes. We've got our own tomato to worry about.
Please, dear, calm down a little. Here, have some fruit. It's very good for the nerves.
I don't want any fruit. Oh, that's probably Harriet now. I'll answer it. I mustn't lose my temper. I must be calm. Hello?
Osgood. You're talking in a banana.
No wonder with the house all cluttered up with fruit bowls. Hello? That you, Harriet?
No, Osgood. This is Margaret Davis. I just had a call from Miss Brooks.
You have?
Yes, Osgood. Harriet, Walter Denton, and several of the other students are with her.
Oh, well, thank heavens. Tell me, Margaret, where are the children and Miss Brooks?
They're in jail, Osgood.
Fine. You see, Martha, I told you there was nothing to worry about. Miss Brooks and the children are all in jail. Martha, take this phone out of my hands and put back the banana.
Here are the prisoners, young fella. You may talk with them, but don't try to pass anything through the bars.
Oh, thank you.
Why, it's Mr. Boynton.
Hi, Mr. Boynton. We've been framed.
About that luncheon date, I don't think I can make it.
What is all this, Miss Brooks?
Haven't you heard? We're celebrating Student Convict Day.
We were only doing our duty as public servants, but Mayor Remsen must have forgotten to notify any of the other authorities.
Yeah, we raided some racketeers, and the next thing we knew, we were in the pie wagon.
Well, they have no right to hold you here. Oh, officer! Officer!
What is it now?
Why, there's been a mistake. Please open this cell and let these people out of here.
Oh, let these people out of here, is it?
Well, yes, it just happens that I've had quite a bit of legal training in addition to my biological background, and I can tell you that you have no legal basis upon which to hold them any longer.
Good for you, Mr. Boynton.
That's telling him, Mr. B.
And furthermore, I'm sure you don't want to get into any trouble.
Oh, I don't I?
Tell him you'll have him pounding a beat in the swamp.
If you persist in this belligerent attitude, you're liable to be pounding a beat in a swamp.
That's done it.
I knew you'd see it my way.
At last, Mr. Boynton, just you and I and the children.
This is absurd. I don't belong in this cell.
Now behave yourself. Behave yourself or I'll put you in solitary.
Oh, there you are, Connie.
Where's Mrs. Davis?
I would have been here sooner, but I just had to stop at the mass meeting.
What mass meeting, Mrs. Davis?
Oh, Mr. Boynton is with you. How nice.
Please, Mrs. Davis, we've got to get out of here now. If you'll only see...
Everybody in town was there, Connie. And I told them what you said to me on the phone about Student Government Day being run all wrong.
Good for you, Mrs. Davis. Now maybe we'll get some action.
Where's the Brooks cell?
The line forms on your left.
I also told those parents how you said that if you had been running Student Government Day instead of Mr. Conklin, there wouldn't have been so much dunderheaded bumbling.
Bumbling?
Oh, hello, Osgood. We were just talking about you.
Anybody want to buy a used teacher's license?
Well, I guess I'll be running along. Now that Mr. Conklin's here, I'm sure there's nothing further to worry about.
Miss Brooks, how could you... Why did you have to... When were you...
Oh, please, Mr. Conklin, remember your blood pressure.
It wasn't Miss Brooks' fault, Daddy. Don't blame her.
And you, Harriet, in prison. How could you do this to me? My own flesh and blood.
If you've got his blood, Harriet, you better watch your pressure, too.
Quiet, Denton. Miss Brooks, it's my painful duty to inform you that you are under suspension for conduct unbecoming a teacher. Have you anything to say in your own defense?
Yes, Your Honor, I'd like a new trial.
On what ground?
On the ground that I'm not doing so well in this one.
Well, we'll discuss that at the proper time. Meanwhile, you children remain here in Mr. Boynton's charge until I can arrange to have... Mr. Boynton?
Hello, Mr. Conklin.
What in the world are you doing here?
I'm just visiting, Mr. Conklin.
One of those guests you just can't get rid of.
Well, we'll see all about this. I'm going straight to Mayor Remsen's office. I'll handle this matter personally. Oh,
but what'll I do in the meantime?
With a little luck, 30 days.
Well, you've done a lot for me, H.J., but I can't understand why we're dumping this slot machine deal.
Because it's too hot, Mayor. Besides, our cut ain't big enough. Also, the people are up in arms.
The people? What do they know about it?
Ed, I'm surprised at you. What do my initials stand for? H.J., Honest Jim. I'm the people's friend, Ed, and we got an election coming up. We can't afford to let the people get upset, or the first thing you know, they'll start thinking for themselves. And then where are we?
Okay, Jim, okay. I'll have the jackpot company get rid of those machines right away.
No, I've got a better idea. Ed, you're going to make yourself a hero with every parent in this community.
Huh?
You're going to let the kids do this job, the kids who were elected to public office for this one day.
Wonderful, Jim, wonderful. I'll call all my department heads, and I'll tell them the students holding office that I have complete authority.
Fine, Ed, it's democracy in action, that's what it is.
Yes, sir, democracy in action. And Mayor Remsen is solidly behind it. Until after election.
Which one of you is Mayor Harriet Conklin?
I am.
Step out, please. Now, which one of you is Chief of Police Denton?
Oh, that's me.
Come on out. I've had orders to release the both of you.
Oh, but what about Miss Brooks and myself?
Sorry, my orders didn't say anything about you two.
But I insist that you release them immediately.
Quiet, Walter. Orders are orders.
As our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Only luster cream brings you Kay Dumit's magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster cream. Not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4 ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo. And be a
dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, in spite of everything, Walter and Harriet got us out of jail promptly. And that wasn't the only thing Student Government Day accomplished. The racketeers left town almost immediately. In fact, the very next day, Walter took me out to the Jackpot Warehouse for a last look at the place.
Pretty deserted now, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Walter. Let's go in and see if they've cleaned out the slot machines.
I'm going to look around in back, Miss Brooks.
Go ahead, Walter. Say, here's one of those nickel machines. What a racket. Naturally, two lemons and an anchovy. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Crime does not pay.
Next week, tune in to another Our Miss Brooks show, brought to you by Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, dream girl hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Helen Spring, Hans Conried, Hal March, and Herb Vigran. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations, and be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Stay tuned now for Lum and Abner. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting Group.
We should put an hour in front of your name, and you'd be Our Miss Wolf. That was the name of the show.
I'm not a miss.
A new Mrs. Our Mrs. Wolf. That would be a good show.
That does sound
you'd
like
be,
a good show.
We
not a good one.
Our Mrs. Wolf.
That doesn't have any intrigue somehow.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
Well, that was Our Miss Brooks from January 16th, 1949. Eve Arden. You know, she was just so perfect in this role, although they did want Lucille Ball for this role.
I know.
And she was unavailable. And then they cast Shirley Booth. Remember her from Hazel?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, they actually made an audition record with Shirley Booth, but she just wasn't right for it. So they cast Eve Arden, and then she played it on radio and to television, and she just was, you know, Connie Brooks.
Right.
And remember her in the Grease movies as the principal? She was Principal McGee.
Is that her name?
Yeah, Principal McGee in the Grease movies. She was just always such a likable, fun character, right? Eve Arden. Hope you enjoyed that.